Hi, I'm John Weber. Vocalist Stacey Sullivan has appeared in venues in Europe, from Lincoln Center in New York, to the Ford Theater in Hollywood. Her acclaimed show, A Tribute to Miss Peggy Lee, honored the extraordinary music and legacy of the singer, composer, and actor whose career spanned more than six decades. The New Republic's David Hadou has called her criminally underappreciated. But with a Mac Award for Outstanding New York Female Debut, Stacey Sullivan is certainly a rising star in her own right. Stacey, welcome to Piano Jazz.
It's an honor to be here, John Weber.
You know, Stacey, the first time I ever heard you, I knew you'd reached me in a very special, intimate way. I couldn't even concentrate.
Oh, John, I'm blushing.
But you are bringing something very, very sincere to your music. You sing in such an honest, open way. You mean it. It's like some people don't really mean it, but you really mean it, and I can tell.
Well, I love songwriters, and when I connect to a song, I really want to get the lyrics right, and I want to get their message across. That means a lot to me, so correct me if I get them wrong.
Well, whom or what initially attracted you to singing?
Well, I come from a very large, loud family of singers and athletes. There are eight children, and my mother, Elizabeth Sullivan, is a marvelous musician and songwriter. But she was doing it on the farm in Boggy Depot. She was writing poetry and creating these songs. And I'll never forget her getting up and singing in church, because she took us somewhere else. Her sincerity, it was never mushy, though. She was just able to put the point across and elevate her audience. That's my desire to do that. And she was definitely an inspiration.
Well, you're a success in Boggy Depot, Oklahoma. It's proud daughter. You represent them exquisitely. You really can't teach sincerity. It's you either have it or you don't, and you definitely have it. And I would love to do a song with you. It's just, I can't wait. What do you feel like singing right now?
I would say most of my favorite arrangements are ones that I've done with you, John Weber. You're so creative and delightful to work with. But let's do a song from my first album that we've never done before. Let's do You Must Believe in Spring, because I heard my sister told me that was one of your favorite songs.
Yeah, we should. I would love to do that. Would you?
I am so game.
Let's do it.
Okay.
When lonely feelings chill the meadows of your mind, just think, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Beneath the deepest snows, the secret of a rose is merely that it knows you must believe in spring. Just as a tree is sure its leaves will reappear, it knows its emptiness is just a time of year. The frozen mountain dreams of April's melting streams, how crystal clear it seems. You must believe in spring. Thank you. just as a tree is sure its leaves will reappear. It knows its emptiness is just a time of year. The frozen mountain dreams of April's melting streams, how crystal clear it seems. You must believe in spring. You must believe in love and trust it's on its way. Just as a sleeping rose awaits the kiss of May, so in a world of snow, of things that come and go, where what you think you know, you can't be certain of, you must believe in spring.
Oh, John, thank you so much. You know how it is when you're starting out, you put all of your favorite songs on your first album?
Yes.
And that's one of my favorite songs, and I don't feel like I did it justice on my first album. I've always, always, always wanted to re-record it, and so that was my chance. Thank you for letting me do that. That
you sang it so beautifully.
Thank you.
But I must compliment you for your creative arrangements. That was sort of a spontaneous arrangement
that
you just did
now. That's a John Weber original right there.
But your voice and your storytelling complement every single arrangement that you make. I heard you do something with Nobody's Heart, which blew me away. I didn't even know where you got the ideas from. It was just heavenly. It's wonderful.
It's a great song. I remember the first time I ever did that song, I did it with a little bit of a modern twist to the arrangement, but the words and the melody were exactly as they wrote them. And someone thought that it was a brand new song. It's one of those songs that I think really translates to today.
I would love to hear you singing Nobody's Heart.
Let's do it.
Nobody's heart belongs to me. Hi-ho, who cares? Nobody writes his songs to me. The least of my cares. I may be sad at times and disinclined to play, but it's not bad at times to go your heart belongs to me today. I may be sad at times and disinclined to play, but it's not bad at times to go your own sweet way. Nobody's arms belong to me. No arms feel strong to me. I admire the moon as a moon, just a moon. Nobody's heart belongs to me today.
John Weber, you just killed that.
That was impeccable. I wish I could sing like you.
Oh, I wish I could play like you. I could never play the piano. I tried, and my sister Heather plays, my mother plays. Everyone plays instruments in my family, and I'm just not wired that way.
But you probably heard a lot of music in that house. I'm going to guess 8 kids, you probably heard a lot of music growing up.
And it was interesting because I was the 7th of 8 children, and we were all about harmonies. Everyone was singing. And I was always looking for my part, because all the parts were already taken. So I think in this search to find, you know, something in between what everybody else was singing, it was good ear training, but it didn't prepare me very well to pass music theory in college.
Well, you passed the test in my book. You sound wonderful.
Thank you, John.
I have to ask you, you were singing on this Burnin' medley with Bucky Pizzarelli.
Oh my gosh, can you believe that man? I was in the studio working on It's a Good Day, the tribute to Peggy Lee. And I've worked for years with a guitarist in Los Angeles. His name is George Deering. And we've worked together so many times, and I really trust him. So I was going to take my tracks from New York to Los Angeles and lay down a guitar track on top of it, because I love George so much. So I was in the studio, and I was telling them what I was going to do. And they said, what kind of guitar are you looking for? I said, you know, Bucky Pizzarelli, of course, is the dream. I always dreamed of working with that man. And they said, why don't we call him? They picked up the phone at noon, and by 1 o'clock that afternoon, Bucky Pizzarelli was in the studio with his guitar in hand, and he laid down 7 tracks with us for the album. And it was so thrilling watching him work. It was so clean and so precise, and he does the work, man. He's just there. And he's so easy to work with.
Yeah, beautiful guy.
Just easy.
Well, I'm going to ask if you'd like to sing that excellent I Got Rhythm medley with me.
This I Got Rhythm medley was such a joyful experience putting it together, because I wanted to bring aspects of Peggy's Bass in Street East, but I also wanted to put I Got Rhythm and then play with the rhythms throughout the medley, so let's do that one.
That's what she did. She messed with tunes. Yeah, let's do it.
I got rhythm. I got music. I got my man. Could ask for anything more. I got daisies in green pastures. I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? Oh, man, trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find door. I got starlight. I got sweet dreams. I got my man. Who could ask for to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing but one kiss, one man to save it for, one love for him alone, one word, one vow, nothing more to tell him I'm his own. One magic night within his arms, with passion's flower unfurled. But I would try to love only one man and no other man in the world. I got rhythm.
That was the rhythm medley on Caffeine, I think.
Don't you love medleys in general?
I do. Especially that one. That was fun.
I mean, I love Nothing Wrong with Complete Songs as well, but there's a certain art to creating medleys.
I heard someone say that if you combine songs, you have to bring a different meaning to the songs if you bring them together. Because if you don't, you're just singing two songs together.
Yeah. Reminds me of the old school variety shows from the, you're way too young to remember this stuff, but like the Jackie Gleason show or the Red Skelton show or the Carol Burnett show, Ed Sullivan certainly. They always had medleys on there. And I do remember hearing you perform an extremely clever medley, starting with That Old Black Magic in a minor key.
I love Old Black Magic. Yeah. And I loved the way Peggy Lee had taken Lover and totally mixed it up. When Richard Rodgers heard her version of his song, Lover, he said, "Have you heard what Peggy Lee has done with my little waltz? Why couldn't she have messed up Silent Night?" I mean, she took that song and made it something completely different. So when I wanted to add it to my Peggy Lee show, I wanted to do that again, to mess it up a little bit. And it was interesting that Old Black Magic had another kind of darkness to it that Lover does.
And a line that references, "You're the lover I've waited for," as I recall. So that's, I think I see the connection there.
"And I say the devil is in you."
Oh.
"And to resist you, I'd try."
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. Can I do that with you? I want to play this with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
"That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. That same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. That same old tingle that I feel inside. Then that elevator starts its ride. Down and down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. Lover, when I'm near you and I hear you speak my name, softly in my ear you breathe, you breathe, you breathe, you breathe the flame. Lover, please be tender when your tender fears depart. Lover, I surrender to my heart. Oh, I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name, and I'm aflame. Aflame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. For you're the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down and down I go, round and round I go, like a leaf that's caught in the tide. say the devil is in you, and to resist you I try. But if you didn't continue, I would die. Oh, you're the lover I have waited for, the mate that fate of me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, darling, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving the spin I'm in. Loving that old black magic called love. I say the devil is in you. And to resist you, I try.
That was fun.
That was way too much fun.
I love doing that with you. It's just thrilling.
I've done that on stage with you, and we've played it even faster than that sometimes.
Have we really? I thought that was a record.
That was almost a world record, that we were close. That was fabulous. And you have a tremendous repertoire of songs and lyrics, and your love for the American Songbook is obvious. And that you can actually tie those two songs together, that you happen to know that there's devil references in Lover and in That Old Black Magic, and you tied them together thematically.
Oh, it was so much fun. You know, another song that we did something very different with was the Johnny Guitar.
Yes, there was a 1954 movie with Joan Crawford and Mercedes McCambridge.
And we definitely don't do it that way.
No.
And we were looking at trying that song in the Peggy Lee tribute, and I remember one night we found My Perfect Key.
Yes.
Which was F sharp minor.
Yes, I love F sharp minor.
And I kept saying most musical directors would pretend that that wasn't My Perfect Key.
Yes, but I love F sharp minor.
Ah, you're one of the few. And you looked at me and said, one of my favorite pieces of music ever written was Rachmaninoff's Prelude in F sharp minor.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, so you sat down with your computer and YouTube, and you found me about 6 or 7 different versions of Rachmaninoff's. I didn't remember it from college. And it was so haunting and so beautiful that we just looked at each other. And that's how it had to be in Johnny Guitar.
It fit.
It's the same kind of feel because Peggy is singing it to Dave Barber.
Who she
wrote, and she wrote the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, her husband, who she met at when she was a...
Benny Goodman.
They're both about 20 years old, and they met with the Goodman Band.
He was about 10 years older than she was.
Yeah.
But she was about 21 when they met.
But I enjoyed playing that with her. In fact, I'd like to play that with you right now.
I would love that. Play it again, my Johnny. Maybe you're cold, but you're so warm inside. I was always a fool for my Johnny. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Guitar. Play it again, Johnny Guitar. Whether you go whether you stay, I love you. What if you're cruel? You can be kind, I know. Johnny Guitar. Play it again, Johnny. Johnny Guitar. Could
we just do this every day? Noon tomorrow. Let's meet again and do just this again. That was really exciting.
It's a very pretty song, and I think it's a song that has been covered very few times in its history. It came out in 1954. Is that about right?
I like it best with Rachmaninoff's Prelude in F sharp.
You know, even though it's not a guitar piece, it somehow it fits.
Yeah, it does.
Well, there's more coming up with vocalist Stacey Sullivan. I'm John Weber. And this is Piano Jazz from NPR Music. Stacey, you have a tremendous theater background, and I want to know if that experience has helped your storytelling as a jazz vocalist.
Well, I started out singing with my family in gospel tent revivals around the South and the Midwest, and I loved singing, but I felt a true connection to acting. I did my first play when I was 9 years old at the University of Oklahoma. It was based on Henry James, The Turn of the Screw, and it was called The Innocents.
Wow.
And I played a little girl who was possessed by demons. And I felt so comfortable on that stage. And I've often said that I've never felt more comfortable in my life than when I'm on stage. And that continued, but I studied music in college, and I actually studied opera, and I was a lyric coloratura, and I'll never forget the moment when I saw my first opera, and I realized that I couldn't understand what they were saying. I loved the technique. I loved the bel canto, all of that. But the audience that I wanted to reach was a much broader audience that could understand what I was saying to them. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who are opera aficionados know every word. I wanted my audience to know every word that I was singing. And so that sent me off in a completely different direction. And I heard Shirley Horn at the Cinegrill at the Roosevelt Hotel, and I was never the same again.
And you were able to bring theatrical aspects into your jazz performing or popular performing.
That's what I hope to do. Mabel Mercer is one of my favorite singers. And Frank Sinatra said everything he knew he learned from Mabel Mercer. And she was really a storyteller. She wasn't a great singer, but I would rather listen to her than pretty much anyone else because I really connect with those wonderful, wonderful songs.
Wow. That's wonderful to hear, because the first time I ever heard you, I felt that you had an extensive theatrical background, because I know you played Christine in Phantom of the Opera, and you could bring the grand, gigantic blockbuster.
I did the Yeston Copit Phantom, which is a beautiful version of the Phantom story. And one of my favorite roles was I did Rosebud in The Mystery of Edwin Drood in the second production, the West Coast premiere. And Rupert Holmes, the writer, and I really connected over this song he wrote called Moonfall. It's a beautiful song, and it's so evocative, the words that he wrote. And I don't think I was ever a great lyric coloratura, but I did enjoy that show and connecting with those lyrics. And again, it was a push to find a voice that I could sing in that was closer to my speaking voice. I wanted the stories that I was telling vocally to just be a continuation of us talking.
That's very important to do. I think every vocalist should sing in their speaking voice, or at least in the register that in which they speak. And if they speak quietly, they should probably sing quietly.
It's taken me a while to find that. And one of the songs that I did that helped me find it was a song that I learned for a Ted Williams tribute for Gay Talese. It was Where or When. And it's such a still song. And again, Rodgers and Hart.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, as I recall, Peggy Lee recorded that even before Why Don't You Do Right was a hit. Isn't that correct?
She recorded it in 1941, and they used a very interesting technique to record that song because the big band, Benny Goodman, was down below, and there was a single mic in the middle of the room. They took all the furniture, and Peggy climbed up on the furniture and sang very closely to the microphone. It's an interesting recording to listen to because I think it's the first time I ever heard someone sing that softly.
So they had a microphone hanging from the ceiling maybe 10 or 15 feet. How high up was it?
Yeah, she thought she was going to fall down and break her neck.
So she climbed all this furniture up to sing really softly.
Right into the mic. And then the orchestra, the big band was playing below, but she sang so quietly. It was a wonderful
She really got a lot of people's attention by singing quietly. That was a new thing. The close miking was a brand new thing. I never knew that that's how she did it.
Well, she had a big voice, but she chose to sing softly.
We should do Where One. I'd love to hear you do that.
Let's do it.
It seems we've stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing were the clothes you wore. We smiled at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. Some things that happen for the first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems that we have met before and laughed before and loved before, but who knows where or when. that happen for the first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems that we have met before.
Okay, we have to put that on an album.
That was sweet.
Can we do an album, just the two of us, doing that, what we just did?
That'd be a blast.
Playing and improvising.
I love it.
That's one of my favorite things to do.
I love every minute of it. It's
great.
You
listen, John. You listen so beautifully.
You know, my father used to say, nobody ever got fired for listening.
Oh, it happened the very first time we ever performed together. We were doing the Joey Reynolds radio show.
Yes.
And you were a friend of my sister, KT Sullivan, and she wanted me to do I've Got a Crush on You, because we were talking about Lee Wiley.
Yes.
And you found my key, and I was learning the verse on the way to the gig. You were teaching me the words in the taxi cab.
You're a fast learner.
It was so much fun doing that song, though.
And when you got it in front of millions and millions of people on the radio, you did it flawlessly, by the way.
Oh.
I think a lot of people driving in their cars probably had a crush on you after they heard you singing this.
The Gershwins, very few people did it better.
They can't miss. They could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do I Got a Crush on You.
Can we please?
Yeah.
How glad the many millions of Theodores and Williams would be to capture me. When you had such persistence, you wore down my resistance. I fell, and it was swell. You're my big and brave and handsome Romeo. How I won you, I shall never, never know. It's not that you're attractive, but oh, my heart grew active when you came into view. I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie. The least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Could you coo? Could you care for a cunning cottage? We could share. Thank you. 'cause I've got a crush, my baby.
That was way beautiful. You sang that so, so nicely.
I loved the way you played it. I want an album of just us doing that. That's heaven.
I can pretty much throw any chord underneath you and you're going to find your note. I love that.
I remember you said to me one time when I was first starting to sing jazz, because you told me I could. Being from Oklahoma, I didn't feel like I had a jazz pedigree. And I've sung gospel and country and musical theater and all sorts of different styles. And you told me, you said, Stacy, you can sing jazz. And you said something crucial to my development, I feel. And you said, there are no mistakes in jazz. And I carry that with me in life. It's a great thought. There are no mistakes.
Well, you can cover your tracks pretty nicely. Stefan Harris gave a brilliant TED talk about no mistakes on the bandstand, and he proved it. He showed what'll happen. What might sound like a wrong note, everybody follows that note, and suddenly it's okay. And that's been happening for a long time. Whenever somebody made a mistake in those days, they couldn't redo things, and they just kept on going, and everybody followed the mistake, and the mistake became the cool thing.
I love recording these songs live here in the studio.
We're
no punching in or any of that stuff that we do usually. It's like we're on.
I have watched you ad-lib with tremendous skill in every single cabaret show that I've ever seen.
We've never done the same show twice, have we, John?
No, you ad-lib quite. That's the jazz moment in cabaret, perhaps. And jazz and cabaret, there's a line between those two, and we sort of erase that line over the years. Mm-hmm. And I see an increasing number of jazz rooms in New York City featuring cabaret performers, as well as notable jazz artists performing in established cabaret rooms. This is cross-pollination of audiences attending all the shows.
I saw Annie Ross the other night at the Metropolitan Room, which is known as a cabaret room. But what is cabaret, really? Well, I don't think anyone has the answer to that. I think cabaret attracts artists who like a lot of different styles, because it allows us to play and move in and out. Do you agree?
Yes, and what happens is, I think a lot of people perceive cabaret as this sort of adjunct of the theater world, where everything is scripted and everything is specific. It's cabaret is perceived to be a far more scripted medium of performance, more akin to a Broadway show, whereas jazz is thought of as completely spontaneous and unplanned beginning to end, which is kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, it is, actually.
And, I mean, in the 1920s, there was a lot of overlap between the jazz and the cabaret domains, and it was very exciting and vibrant time for both art forms. Wouldn't you agree?
I think today, even pop artists are doing that. Pink, to me, a lot of her songs are cabaret songs. Mm-hmm. They're telling stories, they're connecting, and they're very artistic also. I heard an interview with Billy Joel, and I think it was Alec Baldwin was asking him about his start. And he said, well, I started out in jazz. And Alec Baldwin said, well, why did you stop? He said, I wasn't good enough. The jazz musicians, you players, you're so far and above most of the musicians who are alive today. I really respect. It's a different skill set.
I would like to hear you do something that was written in our lifetime.
I sang a Johnny Mandel, Alan and Marilyn Bergman song at the Beverly Hills Library one night, and Johnny was in the audience. And again, it was no rehearsal and just getting out there and flying by the seat of your pants. So let's do that here, shall we?
Which Johnny Mandel song do you like?
Where Do You Start?
Oh,
we've never done this song.
No, never before today.
I don't have a chart.
I don't even know a key. We're going to figure
that out.
You're winging it. We're going to figure that out right now.
I can't wait. Separate the present from the past. How do you deal with all the things you thought would last that didn't last, with bits of memories scattered here and there? I look around and don't know where to start. Which books are yours? Which tapes and dreams belong to you and which are mine? Our lives are tangled like the branches of a vine that intertwine. With bits of memories scattered here and there, I look around and don't know where to start. One day there'll be song or something in the air again to catch me by surprise, and you'll be there again a moment in what might have been.
Boy, where do I start to praise you on that?
Arrangements to go.
It's on the spot.
Nice work, Weber.
I love everything you're doing today.
I want to record that again with you.
Yeah.
Because on my first album, too, I was trying to find my voice. And there's so many different styles, and it takes time. I'm on number 5.
And time is the one thing we do not have.
I'm just not finding it.
I am so sad to say, I can't believe how quickly this hour has gone,
Stacey
Sullivan.
We're not done.
No. I'm afraid so.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep on.
We have time for one more number, and we should probably, what do you think?
Since I love being here with you, John Weber, let's do it.
Oh, what a segue that was. I love being here with you, Peggy Lee.
As a guest, 'cause I love being here with you. I love the sea, I love the shore, I love the rocks, and what is more, with you there, there'd never be a bore, 'cause I love being here with you. Singing in the shower, laughing by the hour, life is such a breezy game. Love all kinds of weather, long as we're together. Love to hear you say my name. I like good wine and fine cuisine and candlelight. Ooh, I like this scene. Baby, if you know what I mean, I love being here with you.
Stacey Sullivan, I love being here with you.
Right back at you, baby.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host John Weber and his guest, Stacey Sullivan. This program is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at Hirsch Studios in New York City, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Andrew Shire, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Grant Jackson, production assistant Laura Hunsberger. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.